All right, turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we're going to be looking today to try to get through all 17 of these first 17 verses. As we address these particular issues that Paul is warning Timothy about, in their own culture, in their day, and warning them, particularly to Timothy, to stand fast, to hold fast to the things of Christ, to not allow these things that are coming against them in the society of their day deter them from the service of the Lord or turn their minds and their hearts away from the things of God. And so this is very fitting for us as well in our own day, as Paul gives these warnings to Timothy. These warnings translate very well into our own day, as they have for the last 2,000 years, because man continues in his drive toward wickedness and sinfulness, and everything he can do to do away with the ownership and the direction of God in their lives, they will strive to remove that from them and do everything they can against God's standard. And so this is a warning that Paul is giving to Timothy, that they hold fast facing these particular things. Now notice with me, we find here in this passage the authority of the Word of God, and particularly Paul makes it clear that this is the last days that he's speaking of. The last days began at the coming of our Lord Jesus. When he came 2,000 years ago, the last days began at that point. We're still in them, and we're, I believe, toward the end of them. I mean, you have 2,000 years have passed since the last days began. I mean, we are clearly very close to the end of all of these things and the working out of all of this timetable that God has set in place. And so Paul tells us this is the reality of the last days. And for all these things that Paul warns Timothy about, we see these same things in our society today. We see these exact same mindsets in the hearts and minds of the people of this world and of our society. So much so that we see churches, we see religion itself, we see even professors of Christ acting the very way that Paul is warning Timothy about that the world will do. We see folks that call themselves Christians doing these things and entertaining these things in their lives. And so the warning given, Paul says there in verse number 5, from such, he says that last phrase there, verse 5, from such turn away. From such turn away. So this is the reality of these last days that we are living in that Paul is warning to Timothy about. Notice with me, beginning in verse 1, he says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God." Now this is the list here Paul gives us. This is the list that Paul warns to Timothy particularly, but we see them in our day as well. And so it is a warning to us as well. These very same things going on in our world around us. these very same mindsets, these very same sins. And so these are indeed perilous times. Perilous times. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue on in our study. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. Father, we thank you so much for your many blessings upon us. Father, for your grace this day, we are able to come into your house together. We're so thankful for each one that was able to make it this way today. We pray, Father, our hearts and our minds be turned towards you as we look to your word today, as we study these things, that you might give us understanding of them, that you might give us the application for them in our lives. Father, we recognize these things all around us in our day. Sometimes, Father, they're just overwhelming to our hearts as we see these things, these changes coming in our world. And so we just pray, Father, that you'd help us to be a people that holds fast to you. Help us, Father, to be a people that do not waver in the face of all of these things, but that we would stand firm on your word, ever being faithful to declare Christ to those around us, that we would walk as you called us to walk, that we would serve you as you called us to serve you. Help us, Father, to love you. Help us that love might be seen through us. And help us to be faithful, Father, to proclaim Christ Jesus to those around us. Go with us now as we look to your word. Again, help us as we study these things. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, Paul gives us this list here. And we know these things, he warns Timothy here in the last days, perilous times have come. He gives that warning several times in his writing. The Lord gives those warnings to us in the Gospels. We know that the closer we draw to the end of all of these things, we know these realities will get worse and worse. Evil seducers, Paul says, shall wax worse and worse. These are things that will continue in this world. And that's discouraging from our perspective, living as we do, living in a world or in a nation, I should say, that has the freedom that we have today, the liberties that we enjoy. It's sad for us to see these realities taking place in our society. It's sad for us to see these things happening around us, knowing that this is indeed these perilous times are all around us. But then on the other side of it, the other hand, on one hand it's discouraging. On one hand we see these things unfolding and it's bothersome to us. But then on the other side, there's some excitement about it because our Lord comes. That's his promise to us, that he's coming to receive us unto himself. And so we are expecting his return. We know of the promise of his coming. And so when we see these things going on, yes, it's a reality check for us that we are in the end days. But because we're in the end days, that means our Lord is coming. That means his time is at hand. And so this is something we have to be mindful of, that this is the reality of this world, and at the same time, when we see this as the reality, to know that our Lord's coming is short. He is returning soon. And so that's what we are to be focused on as the children of God, knowing that our Lord comes. These things, we're told, will continue until Shiloh comes, until our Lord comes. And when King Jesus takes his throne on this earth, then these things will all be corrected in him. The reason for these perilous times is because of the condition we find there in verse number 3, when he says, that he says, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good. And then he says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. This describes here, beginning in verse 2 on down, he describes for us here this depravity of man on display. Man is in love with himself. Man is in love with himself. Notice he begins that in verse number 2. He describes that reality, that man will be self-lovers. Man has made a god of himself. Made a god of himself. He is the idol that he worships. He loves himself above everything else. And he will do for self above everything else. Man shall be lovers of their own selves. Secondly, we see man is covetous. Man loves all that he can gather, all that he can amass up. He loves after the things of this world. He loves after the things that are not his, that particularly covetousness. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5 tells us that that covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. How is it that coveting something, how is it that wanting something that someone else has, how does that become idolatry in us? Because we make an idol out of that which we want. We make an idol out of our own ability to get what we want. That becomes our focus. That becomes the chief thing in our lives, is to get whatever it is that we're desiring after. And so it becomes an idol that man worships. And so there man is covetous. He declares next that man are boasters, peacocks, braggarts. They live on the idea of being better than everybody else. Bragging in themselves, boasting in themselves, boasting in what they have done or will do or want to do. Proud, he goes on to say. That's one who is haughty. That's one who is lifted up in himself and in his own ability and his own strength. Blasphemers, he says. In every way, standing against God. That is a blasphemer. One who is against God, against God's name, against God's word. And we have a society that is going headlong in this mindset of blasphemy. At the same time going headlong in this state of blasphemy, we have the leaders of this society, the leaders of our country. They want to name God when they think it's going to do them good to name His name. They want to claim religion when they think it's going to make them look good in the moment for claiming the religion. And they're going to put off like they're serving Him in their wickedness. As they go through these things, as they promote these very things in our society, they're going to be trying to claim the name of Christ in doing so. And so this is that blasphemy. And it goes very much with what Paul is saying there in verse number 5 after he finishes this list. But man becomes and is a blasphemous generation. Next, he mentions is disobedient to parents. Such behavior is now multi-generational. Now, we learn, parents learn from their parents, children learn from their parents. It goes on down the line there, teaching this whole mindset of rebellion against the authority that God has given. And so in this, man has become disobedient to parents, children disobedient to their parents. This is against God, and it is wickedness, and shows that picture of the depth of the wickedness in our society. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. All about what more can be gained, and never thanking those who have blessed us with the things we enjoy. never considering God's grace in our everyday blessings, in our everyday gifts that we enjoy. Man becomes unthankful. In his unthankfulness, man becomes privileged. Man becomes entitled in his unthankfulness. Because, hey, it should be mine. It should be what I have. It should be what I deserve. Why should I be thankful? This is mine. It's my right to have this. And so we see that unthankfulness breeding this entitlement in our world. The next thing he mentions is unholy. That which is profane, wallowing in depravity. Man is without Christ in this state of unholiness. He's not fit before the throne of God. But in our world, in our society, at least since our inception as a nation, there was at least outwardly a desire for holiness. In our world, in our society, there was at least a show of it outwardly. And this has been erased from our society and in today's culture. They do not want to show forth anything holy, but rather they will wallow in their depravity, and in wallowing in their depravity want everyone to say it is right. Unholy. The next thing he mentions in verse 3, without natural affection. Without natural affection. This is abnormal relationships. This is seen not only in homosexuality and the push for this in our society, but also in the death of the children in the womb, 60 million plus since 1973, and we've come to the place in our society today that they are arguing for the right to do this even after a child is born. Several years ago, in fact, it was in Princeton, I believe it was, if I remember correctly, he was the head of biology there, and I can't think of his name right off, Robert something or another. I can't think of his last name. It's escaped me in the moment. But anyway, this was back in the 90s. This man made a proclamation to his classes there in Princeton that a child was not really alive until they're at least 3 years old. And so he gave, from his perspective, that they should be able to kill a child up to the age of 3 without any repercussions from law. This was being taught at Princeton University at that time. This mindset, as crazy as that sounds, this mindset has actually increased in our society. So that this is even being entertained among these that are declaring that they should be able to kill the babies in the wombs. This is without natural affection. This is without natural affection. And so this mindset that Paul is warning us of here in these verses, we see are very much a reality in our world today. The next thing he mentions there are truce breakers. Those are folks that have no integrity. Those are folks that are irreconcilable. These are folks that don't matter what agreement was made. They're going to stand against it. They're going to break that they promised to. They are truce breakers. Next are false accusers, he says. People looking for ways to accuse others. This is the very nature of Satan here. This is what he does against us. He accuses the brethren before God. That's his purpose, is to bring accusation against us. This is what the world does too. They follow after their father, the devil. They look for ways to falsely accuse. We see also incontinent is another one he gives there. That simply means no self-control. No self-control. My goodness, can we not see that in our world today? People with no self-control at all, following headlong, acting like animals in their relation one to another. Incontinent, fierce, savage, and violent in their actions one toward another. And then he says, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. That's those hate that hate good. How can someone get to the place that they hate good? Well, that's where depravity leads. That's where that sinful nature brings us when we nurture sin in us. When sin is nurtured in man, it will lead to where his whole mindset is turned on its head. It doesn't make any sense to reality. And we see that in our world today. In Isaiah chapter number 5, Isaiah writes here this warning concerning this reality. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20. Isaiah 5 and verse number 20. He says here, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is that very mindset that's warned of here in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20. We see it warned of again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it is the state of our society today. It is the very state of our society. This whole twisted upside down mindset of that hating that which is good. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, he says in verse number 4. That's those who would betray all that is set before them. Those that would apparently be with you, would be on your side, that would turn simply for the sake of self. Traitors. Heady, he says, is the next one. That's those who are reckless. That word heady means falling forward. That's those who are just going headlong into everything they do without thinking anything about the consequences, without thinking at all about what this might lead to. They're just going headlong into it. Reckless, heady, high-minded. That's those that are blinded by their pride. That word high-minded means to inflate with smoke. That's what that Greek word means there. Be inflated with smoke. High-minded. What does that mean? It means they're filled with nothing. Filled up with nothing. They're inflated with smoke. They think they've got something, but they don't have anything. High-minded. And he says, lovers of pleasure. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. A society where lust is supreme. Where lust is supreme. That's the society that we find ourselves in today. Our society is constantly declaring their right for this mindset. They are constantly declaring they can do these things and think this way because it's their right and because it is right, they say. They say you can marry whoever you want. It doesn't matter what sex they are. Male, female, it don't matter. There's a woman a few years ago in England was trying to marry her parrot. Her parrot. And was petitioning the English government for her to marry her bird. It was still in court the last I heard. I've not heard whether or not she's been able to actually marry this thing or not. They say you can marry whoever, whatever you want. God says it's one man for one woman. One man, one woman for life, even, he says. They say you can be whatever you want to be. It used to be you could be whatever gender you want to be. But now they've added 15 genders. And so it's whatever you pick, that's what you can be. Even if you want to be a dog or a cat, you can be one of those. And that's supposed to be upheld by our society as normal. It's a denial of God's creation. It's a denial of what He's made you. They say, I can be whatever I want to be. God says He made us male and female. They say that your truth is the only truth that matters. Your truth. I hate that phrase. I mean, it runs all over me to hear somebody say, well, my truth. That right there is an open door. That is a reality. When you hear them say those terms, you can know right there that it's not truth. You know then it cannot be the truth if it's your truth. The Bible says, God says He is the truth. His Word is truth. And so if your truth goes against God and His Word, it ain't truth. It don't matter how important it may be to your being, how important it is to your mindset, if it does not align with God and His Word, it is not the truth. They say you can kill your baby in the womb, even partially in the birth canal, declaring it's only alive until it breathes oxygen. Till it takes its first breath, it's not really alive, they say. But then we'll spend billions of dollars to put all of this equipment on Mars looking for bacteria that would be proof of life on Mars. God says that He knew us even before we were born. He knew us in our mother's womb. He declares life begins in the womb. It begins at conception. They say you can live your life the way you want to. You don't have to answer to anyone. Just be true to yourself. God says you will pay for every sin against Him and you will give answer for every idle word. They say the only thing that matters is the color of your skin and everything should be divided by that. We've come to a weird, weird place in our society, where racism was so rampant so many years ago, and the fight against that racism and the fight for the equality of people no matter the color of their skin, and we've come along so far in this that now they are demanding the separation because of the color of their skin, and if you're not the right color, then you don't get all the right privileges. If you're the right color, you can go and burn houses, you can burn businesses, you can go and loot stores and robbed them of every, I mean, to the point that they're closing these businesses down in certain parts of the country because they cannot afford to stay open because of the shoplifters coming in and carrying off $1,000 worth of goods every time they come in the door, and the police cannot do anything about it. Because of this wokeism junk. God says He made us all of one blood. We're all from Adam. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter what where you come from as far as nationality is concerned. We are all one blood, come forth from Adam and Eve. We are all equal as far as our skin color or our personage or whatever the case. All of those things are equal before the throne of God. That's what He says. All of these things that they say are bound up in these things that Paul warns us about here in verses 2 down through verse number 5. He says there in verse 5, having a form of godliness. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. These same folks that are guilty of loving self are the same ones who put on a show of religion where it's going to be good for them, or even godliness where they think it's going to earn them some points. All the while going through the ritual of religion, there's no life in them. There's no reality of that life in them. Paul warns us from such, turn away. From such, turn away. A child of God does not need to entertain or take part with such individuals, because such a lifestyle, claiming Christ, verse number 5, claiming God, at the same time doing these things in verses 2 through 4, is the epitome of hypocrisy. And the child of God is not to be entangled with that mess. From such, turn away. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul says there in verse number 6 down through verse 10 of that passage. Galatians 1 verse 6 through verse 10. He describes here those that have changed the gospel of Christ in this passage. And he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. For though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We are to have no part with these that change the truth of God into these lies. From such, he says, from such turn away. Now, verse 6 of our text, he says, For of this sort are they which creep into houses. It's a lot easier to creep into our houses today than it was to creep in Paul's day, because we have access to all of these media today that we will turn on our television, on our computers, on our phones. We've got all these apps, and these creepers can get in among us today a whole lot easier than in our day than they could in Paul's day. And so we need to be extra mindful. We need to be extra aware in our day to day of those creepers that are striving to creep in among us through these media outlets that are so prevalent in our world. We need to be mindful, aware, and wary of these things. He says, "This of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." It is the way of false teachers to go after women first, perceiving them to be weaker. It's the direction that Satan went. Who did Satan come to? He came to Eve. He didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve. He knew that her emotions could be turned more so than Adam's could. And so this is the direction that they go. Now these creepers that he speaks of here in verse number 6, they are looking for women already engaged in sin to lead them captive. Silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. They are, he goes on to say, verse 7, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How is it that people can continue to learn and never come to the truth? Because the truth is given by the Spirit of God. He's the one that implants that in us. He's the one that puts that in us. And if man is looking for truth outside of God, he's not going to find it but by the Spirit of God coming to him and revealing truth to him. And so this is the direction of this world today. Ever learning, always striving to learn more and more, but they strive for that outside of the things of God. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8, he says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses," these are Pharaoh's two magicians there that turned their staffs into serpents, as Moses' staff was also turned into a serpent. They used their trickery there to try to show they had the same power, except Moses' serpent ate up their serpents before their eyes, and that scared them back just a little bit. But here it says that just as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Reprobate. These kind are those by the power of Satan who try to imitate the power of God, and they can be successful in their imitation. And we need to be aware of that. They can be successful in their imitation, but we need to be watching closely. We need to be paying close attention, because they will reveal themselves. They will show themselves eventually. He says, verse number 9, "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." And so we're looking, as children of God, we're truly grounded in the things of God. We're truly mindful of His Word and living after His Word and following the direction of the Spirit of God. We're going to be able to see these hypocrisies. We're going to be able to see these creepers that are striving to creep in. They'll eventually show themselves as who they really are. And so their reign of hypocrisy will be short, just as God only allows the ocean waves to go so far, even though they beat and thrash against the shore. Their bounds are set. So likewise, these deceivers, their prospering is only for a time. And it is short. Verse 10, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which come unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Paul says it was evident how he stood. It was evident Paul was not simply doing his thing for Paul's benefit, that he was serving the Lord in his life. He was desirous to be faithful to what God had given, and it was proven by the sufferings that Paul endured. And yet he did not change his mindset. He did not turn from the direction that he was going. It proved out that he continued faithful even in the midst of those persecutions and afflictions that came against him. But evil men, he says in verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Look at verse number 12 there. He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus." Paul describes there in verse 11 all that he endured, the persecutions, afflictions that he faced, and all the struggles that came against him for him standing for Christ. And he reminds us here in verse number 12 that if we will live godly in Christ Jesus, if we're going to serve the Lord, if we're going to be faithful to Him, if we're going to walk as He's called us to walk, we will suffer persecution as well. We will suffer persecution as well. "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers," he says, "shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Verse 14, on down to the end of the chapter, we see the antidote for such apostasy. The antidote for this apostasy is the truth of God's Word. "But continue thou," he says, "but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." How is it that we stand against these things? We are to hold fast to the Word of God. His Word is the truth. His Word is what directs us. His Word is what alerts us to these realities in our world. It is His Word that He has given to us to live by. It is His Word that He has declared is the way of righteousness. And so we are to hold fast to His Word. Follow what He has declared. And so we are to continue in the Word. New doctrines. We hear that all the time. People coming up with new doctrines. New revelations from God. Those things are not to be accepted. This is the Word of God. This is what we are to follow. We are to continue in the Word, and we are to hold fast to it and trust it completely. It is that which outfits us, as he says there in verse number 17. It is what outfits us to do the work of God, to live the life of God in this world. The Scripture is breathed out by Him. It is the truth. And when it is applied, it completes us as the servants of God, which furnishes us for those good works, as he says there in verse number 17, in which we are less likely to fall after these particular sins that are described here in verses 2 down through verse number 4. The antidote against this hypocrisy, the antidote against this depravity, the antidote against this wickedness in our world is for God's people to stand firmly on the Word of God without wavering. Without wavering. Even when the world is adamant against it, even when our society declares it is wrong and not good, that it is unholy and unfit for our society, we must stand on the Word of God. We must stand firm. Because they will declare it. Our society already has declared this to not be the truth. They've already declared it not to be the things of God and the Word of God. They know God better than His Word does, they claim. They've already declared this is not His Word. Friends, this is His Word. And we must stand on the Word of God, being faithful to it, to live it in our lives, to bind ourselves to its directions, to devote ourselves to its study, to be faithful to it in every aspect of our lives. That we not be carried away with the wickedness and sin of this world, but rather that we would stand firm against it, declaring the truth of God to all that we come in contact with. Hold fast. Hold fast to the Word of Christ. Because that is the only way, that is the only way we'll stand against the wickedness of this world. It is the only way that we will have impact against it. I mean, we hope that Congress and we hope that our leaders would do right, that they would make right decisions, that they would make right laws. I mean, that's the reason we go to the ballot box. It's the reason we cast the votes for people that we cast the vote for. We hope that they would do right and do things according to God's Word and do things according to God's laws and directions. We desire that. We hope that. But that's not where our hope is. That's not where the assurance of God's will being accomplished is. It's only in Him and us living it out before this world. So we must stand firm. We must hold fast. We must hold fast to the Word of God. Live as God has called us to live. Let's all stand. Brother Gordon, would you bring us a song?